I want to speak this morning on the subject, the proper programming of the computer. The proper programming of the computer. If I could this morning, if I thought it'd help, I would get on my knees and beg you to listen, if I thought it'd help. If I could this morning, and if I had the money, I'd give everybody a price to listen this morning. I believe what I'm going to say in this message could prevent every church split in every Baptist church in America. I believe it could stop every division in every church. I believe it could stop falling out between people. I honestly believe this morning that what I am going to say and what I'm going to preach could do more to help you in your relationships with human beings than any other truth I could give you. I beg you to listen. I plead with you to give attention to what I'm going to say. I preached a sermon several years ago. I called it Justified Forgiveness. This is not that sermon, but a portion of this message will cover a little of that which was said. And I'm going to use the term justified forgiveness quite a bit. I'm not going to tell you any funny stories. I'm not going to try to keep your attention by humor. I just want to share with you what I long for everybody in this room to hear. So would you focus your eyes this way, and would you focus your mind toward this truth that I leave with you this morning? Father, please, not because I need somebody to hear me, and not because I'm a good preacher, and not because I get irritated if folks don't listen, but because every person in this room desperately needs to hear and know this truth. Please give me the attention of all the people and help me to help them when they listen. Amen. I am not a good example of loving kindness, though I honestly work at it. And I would not set myself this morning on a pedestal to be the perfect example of the subject at hand today. I preached last Sunday night on the subject of hypocrisy. And I said the title of my message was something like this: Nobody practices what he preaches. I do not practice what I'm going to preach this morning, but I work at it. I really do. And I want you to hear me as I preach it. Somebody asked the question, Brother Hiles, how do you love people so much? Now, by the way, on that point, I practice what I preach. I'll be honest with you. There are times when I wonder if a younger man couldn't do a better job in this church. There are times when I wonder if maybe somebody else could inspire some of you that I cannot inspire. But I always come back to this. Nobody could love you any more than I do. And I mean that. And everything I do in this church is prompted by love for you and yours. People often ask me, how do you love people so much? Especially when so many people are critical of you. How do you feel so deeply? They often ask. How do you keep from losing confidence in people? Now, I want to make this claim. Please listen now. I do not love people because I have confidence in them. I have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. None. Mine or yours. I do not love you because of what you are. I love you because God has given me you and given you me. And God has given me love. I want to share with you this morning the answer to those questions. Brother Hiles, how do you keep from losing confidence in people. In the first place, I'm not trying to keep confidence in people. I'm trying the best I can to do what I'm supposed to do. And I haven't got time to judge you. I'm too busy judging myself. I don't participate often, if ever, in people talk. I don't like people talk. I don't like it. Because I've got a computer up here. And I want that computer filled with whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are right, a good report, and so forth. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, how do you keep from rendering evil for evil? How do you render good to those that render evil to you? Well, in the first place, the Bible says I'm supposed to love those that hate me. The Bible says I'm supposed to bless those that curse me. The Bible says I'm supposed to pray for those that despitefully use me. Okay, here it is. I call it justified forgiveness. Now listen carefully. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, I'm admonished and commanded to forgive as Jesus forgave. Is that not so? As your Father in heaven has forgiven you, so ought ye forgive one another. Now listen to me. If I'm supposed to forgive like God forgave, I've got to find out how God forgave. Now I want you to notice several things about the forgiveness of God, which I am supposed to copy. Number one, God forgives. I mean, He forgives. He holds no grudges, never. He holds no ill will, ever. He knows no hurt feelings, ever. Number two, God forgives before we seek it. Jesus said on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And not a single one of them had asked forgiveness. That means I'm supposed to have a bundle of forgiveness already at my disposal. Just in case you come to get it, it's there. But Jesus forgave before they asked. Number three, not only did Jesus forgive and forgive before they sought it, but Jesus forgets. He forgets. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. You know what? I don't think they'll ever get to the Titanic and bring it up. I mean that. Somewhere down there, it's there. They say that there is more wealth in the bottom of the Dead Sea than there is in the entire United States of America put together. What if there's more wealth there? Why don't they get it? They can't get to it. It's in the depths of the sea. Deep is the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Why? My sins are gone. God forgives me that way. Now that means I am to forgive you. I am to forgive you if you do not ask me to forgive you. I am to forget what you've done for me. And number four, when God forgives, He forgets. And God justifies me. What does that mean? That means that God looks at me today because I've trusted Him just if I had never sinned at all. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not enter our sins on His record books. He doesn't. He enters His righteousness on our record books, but God does not enter our sins on His record books. Now listen carefully as I reread this passage. Finally, my brethren, I love this too. I love this very much. Let me read for you Philippians 3:1. Don't look at it, but listen. Paul said in Philippians 3:1, finally, brethren. And then over here in chapter 4, verse 8, he says it again. Finally, brethren. I love that with all my heart. I wonder how many times I've said finally several times in a sermon. Now in closing. Well, I got that from the Apostle Paul. That's the only place that we are alike. But he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now look at me carefully. Look at me carefully. That means God is saying, the word think there means put them on account. Whatsoever things are true, put them down. Put them on the record.
Whatsoever things are honest, put them down. Put them on the record. Whatsoever things are just, put them down. In your mind, he's saying, mark it down. Impute it there. Put that in your computer. Now, if that be true, then whatsoever things are not honest, I'm not supposed to put in my computer. I'm not talking about my own dishonesty. I'm talking about I am not going to live thinking about somebody else's impurity. I'm not going to live talking about somebody else's bad reports. Now, if you want to put that kind of garbage, this is true. It's true. What I heard is true. I don't care. If it's a bad report, you're not supposed to put it in your computer. Now, if you want to live that, go ahead. But I can help you today. Here's what it amounts to. Think means don't put it or put it on his account. And God is saying, don't put negatives in the computer. And this is the computer. Let me illustrate. When I'm counseling, good night, I know enough about you to put you in a penitentiary. I've been counseling here 25 years. I'll average 145 people a week inside my office for some brief or long meeting, one or the other. But you know, when I find out something bad about your past, I don't remember it. You know why? I don't put it in my computer. I don't mark it down in my mind. That word think on these things. Folks, come to my office. Brother House, I want to talk to you again. You remember when I was here before? Do you remember my awful past? No, I don't. Well, Brother House, I talked to you about it. You forgotten it? I didn't mark it down. Didn't write it down. Didn't put it in the computer. Didn't register it. Why? Because I don't want to. I want to love you. I don't want to think bad about you. So I didn't mark it down. When I get a hard letter, and I've had a few in my day, when I get a mean letter, if not signed, I don't read it. By the way, I don't read any letters also put on a pulpit or up here. But if it's not signed, I don't read it. But if it is signed, it's a nasty letter, I don't mark it against you. There are folks in this room now who've written me some pretty tough letters. I don't mark it against you. I couldn't tell you what they're about. You say, why? My Bible said, don't put negatives in the computer. Don't put them in. Listen, I can tell you why you're having your nervous breakdowns. I can tell you why you're all worried in a stew. You filled your computer with garbage. And by the way, some of that garbage is true. You put some real garbage in your house. It'll still be dirty. But it's garbage. I'm saying, listen, I can save you tens of thousands of dollars of doctor bills. I could save you nervousness and nervous breakdowns. I could save you psychiatrist bills. Listen, your problem is you're filling your computer with bad things, negative things. I don't care if they are true or not. I'm not trying to help myself or help this church. I'm trying to give you a happy, wholesome life that's filled with joy and abundance and zeal and blessedness and God's will. And you're not going to have it until you quit putting negatives in your mind. God said, put lovely things. Record those. Don't record the unlovely things. Record the decent things. Don't record the indecent things. Listen, if somebody comes to me and needs help, and they've committed some awful sin, I'll do what I can to reclaim them and help them. But I don't want you telling me they've committed an awful sin. I don't want to know about it. Why? Because I only want to put in this computer. Listen, you check with any of these doctors here. Check with any of them. The word is psychosomatic. They'll tell you that 90% of all the illness that people have is caused right up here. By the way, sometimes it's real illness. Listen, your physical organs are affected by what you have here. Now, you can't get on your telephone. Now, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. We don't have a lot of any big problems in this church. There's not a church in the world where the people love the preaching more than you love me, or a preacher loves the people more than I love you. I'm not trying to solve any problems. I'm trying to help you. But you get on your telephone, and you talk about Mrs. So-and-so who did this to her husband, and this girl who did this to her dad, and this fellow who did this to his daughter. If it's true, I'll tell you, you're filling your computer with things that send messages to your body, to your heart, your lungs, your stomach. They send messages to your body, and your body breaks down. Why? Because you've been filling, filling your computer with things that are bad. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, watch over things are true. Watch over things are lovely. Watch over things are kind. Watch over things are virtuous or of a good report. He said, account those. Don't put the others in. Oh, if I could grab you and shake you. I love you. If I could grab you and shake you and say, ladies and gentlemen, everything that you talk about is registered in the computer of your mind. And if you keep registering negative, and I'm not talking just about gossip, I'm talking about true bad reports. Illustration. I often in my travels across the country meet some former student of Hiles Anderson College. Now listen, I often meet some student who's been expelled. Former student who's been expelled. Elaine, I never know about it. Hello there! How you doing? And they got a sheepish look on their face. Hello, Brother Hiles. You remember me? Hoping I don't. Sure I remember you. Sure, you were in my office a time or two. Do you remember what for? No, I don't know. Hiles, you love me? Sure I love you. You say, but I'm expelled. Well, I didn't love you because you were impelled. My love doesn't depend on your pelling. And what happened? I don't even know. Listen, you can sit there with your pharisaical phylacteries wrapped around you and all of your... By the way, criticism is nothing in the world other than pride. He is worse than I. And a critic is always trying to tell you how good he is, but he won't say I'm good. He's hiding behind the cloak of humility, and he won't say I'm good, so he says somebody else is bad, so that makes me look good compared to them. Always is the case. Boy, this is good. Oh, Brother Hiles, I love your preaching. Because I know it'll work. I'll guarantee you, I know it'll work. I know what I'm talking about. I don't know they've been expelled. Why? Well, you were on a committee that voted, weren't you? I guess so. I'm on the expulsion committee. Well, how could you be on a committee and not know you expelled me? Because I didn't mark it down. I didn't push the key and put it in here. That's what you call justified forgiveness. Jesus, do you know I've sinned? Well, I'm sure you have. We're all sinners. You know what I did? What? Well, you know what I did. No, I didn't mark it down. Why? Because it justified you. In the sight of God, I'm just if I had never sinned. And my Bible says I'm supposed to forgive like God forgave. And that means I'm supposed to forgive you, and when you're forgiven, make it just as if you had never done wrong. Illustration. I've been here 25 years almost as pastor of this church. I've worked with the finest group of men on the face of the earth in deacons' meetings. And we've had some lulus of deacons' meetings in those years. We stayed sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes we didn't agree. But I'll guarantee you, I have never walked out of the chapel where we meet with one single difference of opinion with anybody recorded in my mind. I didn't mark it down. I don't know. You say, I love those men, and sometimes they don't agree with each other, and sometimes I don't agree with them. But I love them. They're mine. I love them. Blessed be God, I do not have marked down on the register of my mind one single negative thing that's ever happened. You say, why? If God Almighty, who is perfect, can justify me, blessed God, I can justify others. I know a preacher in this country. He set out to ruin me. He said, I will ruin Jack Hiles. It's the last thing I do. That preacher now has been out of the ministry for many years. Because the Lord, angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that love him. And the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Now listen to me. When he left the ministry and lost everything, I picked up the phone and called him. And I said, my brother, let me help you. He said, "Is this Jack Hiles or are you kidding me?" I said, "This is Jack Hiles. Let me help you." "Why," he said, "don't you know who this is?" And I said, "Yes, I do. But you're a preacher." "Why," he said, "haven't you heard all the things I've said about you?" I said, "Yes, I have. But," I said, "you're still a good man, and I'm not judging you on the basis of what you think about one person, but I'm judging you on the whole picture. Let me help you." And he said, "Brother Hiles, how could you forgive me?" And I said, "Because God forgave me." Tonight, this morning, as I stand here, I stand blameless in the sight of God Almighty. Though I'm not perfect, and though I have sinned, and though I have come short of God's glory day by day by day, as God in heaven looks down on me this morning, God has forgiven me, God has forgotten my sin, and God has not registered a single sin of mine in His book, and I am to have the same forgiveness that God had, and I am not going to register in my computer negative things about you because I want to love you. You walk up to my mother this morning or any other time in her life, and you say, "Mrs. Hiles, what kind of boy was Jack as he was growing up?" And my mother will say, "He never caused me a minute's trouble." Now, if that's the case, I've got a few scars right here on my legs. I'd like to show you where switches off a peach tree left in my body the marks of the Lord Costell Hiles. I have some scars other places I can't show you. I'll guarantee you that my mama never spanked me and wrote it down. And as soon as she finished spanking me, she didn't even know I was a bad boy. And the four people in this world that call me daddy, I've spanked them enough. If the welfare department knew what I'd done, they'd all be living in foster homes today. The welfare department is a God-hating department. Anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-good sense. You say, "Aren't you afraid sometime you say that they'll be here?" No, I'm afraid they won't be here. But I never marked a thing. In my computer today, Becky Jan Smith has not one negative register. And David Hiles and Linda Murphy and Cindy Scott have not one single thing registered. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd ever get this, it'd transform your life. Don't mark it down. Don't mark it down. Illustration. A student comes to my office. Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen, some of us are there as a committee. Maybe a high school student comes and principals are there. And we have to say, "Now look, this can't be done anymore. It's wrong." And you'll be funny. When I see that student in the halls of Hiles Anderson College, I don't even remember what they've done. You say, "Why?" Because, listen, it's a funny thing to me. Brother, we say, "Thou shalt not steal." We say, "But the Bible says it's wrong." The same Bible that says, "Thou shalt not steal," and "Thou shalt not kill," and "Thou shalt not commit adultery," says, "I am supposed to forgive like God forgave." And God forgave, God forgot, and God justified me. And I am commanded, not required, not requested, not suggested. I am commanded, not asked, not petitioned. I'm asked, I'm commanded to what? Forgive like He forgave. That's a commandment of God. And if you're not doing it, you're disobeying God's commandment. Now let's go to the other side of it. I'm not supposed to put in my computer bad things. Oh, listen. For many of you, you know what? There's too much said against television and not against telephones. And I'll make a statement. The telephone has ruined America more than the television has. I'll tell you something else, too. If you want to really clean your home up, yank the phone out of the wall. Put it around your wife's neck and hug her. More homes have been broken by the telephone than the television. And I'm not defending Hollywood. I'm saying more negatives, bad reports have come by the telephone than by the television. And I'm not scolding you this morning. I'm begging you for your own sake. I know what I'm talking about. I know a way to live that will transform your life. It'll help your health. It'll save your doctor bills. It'll help you sleep at night. Don't put things in the computer that are negative. Now, wait a minute. He then says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. Now, hold it. He's not talking about just one of these things. He's talking about everything must apply, must meet all of these things. Here's, for example, if something is true and honest but not lovely and pure, we're not supposed to talk about it. Listen to it. Something must, before we put it in here, it must be true and honest and just and pure and lovely and a good report and virtuous and praise. And that's what you're supposed to put in the computer. Listen carefully. I say this all the time when folks ask me, how do you love people? I think myself to love them. A long time before you ever got settled in this room this morning, I had looked out to you and gone through a little mental process, and I had said, these are my people. And I'm 57 years old, going on 58. Everybody who's 57 is going on 58. I'm going on 58. And I don't know how many more sermons I've got left. And I don't know how many more times I'll be able to preach. I don't know how many sermons this mind has, this voice has, or this body has. But today, on April 29, 1984, I am pastor of the great First Baptist Church of Hammond. And these are the greatest folks in the whole world. And hallelujah, I get to preach to them this morning. I think myself. I go around this building. I can just go up and down the building, just anywhere I look. I'm not going to point to anybody this morning. On the front row here, the front row alone, I know enough heartbreak to make me preach with tears. On the front row alone. I'm talking about from right over here, over there. I know of two men on the front row this morning who are not employed, who have families. And they're having the toughest time you'll ever want to know in your life, making ends meet. I know of one man on the front row this morning who has a daughter who's an adult, who has the mind of about a three-year-old, and she's been retarded and afflicted all of her life. And they've been through hell, never to forget it, day after day after day after day. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying I think about that. I have set times in my schedule when I sit down and I say, okay, it's thinking time. And I think. I think about your burdens. I think about your needs. I think about what you mean to me. I relive the years we've spent together. And I think myself to love you. Tomorrow night I'll be preaching somewhere. I don't know where right now. I'll be preaching in the Boston, Massachusetts area tomorrow night. To those folks that can't say corn, car, it's con and ka. I'm going as a missionary to the heathen tomorrow. But you know what I'll do when I walk on the platform? I'll look at those people. And I'll find some man there. Maybe his collar's not buttoned. Maybe his face looks a little greasy. Maybe he has some grease under his fingernails. And I'll look out at him during the song service and I'll say, I bet you that fellow worked in a factory today or worked in a mechanic shop. And I'll bet you his shoulders are tired tonight and his legs are tired and I bet he's weary. He came home and his wife said, let's go hear Brother Hiles. He's in town. He hadn't been here for a year, so let's go hear him tonight. He said, honey, I'm so tired. But I love that man. I want to go hear him. And they go by and get a Big Mac or something and rush down to church and the man's weary and tired. He came to hear me preach. By the time I stand up to preach tomorrow night, I'll guarantee you by the time I stand up to preach tomorrow night, I'll be in love with those people. I'll think myself into it. I'll register things for them. I'll register that which is true, that which is honest, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is of a good report, that which has virtue, that which has praise. I'll think myself. You heard about the fellow who went out of gas on the desert. He said it's 10 miles to the nearest service station. Now, the nearest one after that's 40 miles. He walked 10 miles down the road. He finally came to that service station on the hot desert sand. He said on the way he got to thinking. He said, that fellow knows that he's the only nearest service station, not more than 40 miles of him. He knows I'm out of gas. He'll know I'm out of gas. He'll know I can't go anywhere else. He'll raise the price double. The time he got there, he was so worked up, he slugged the service station man and said, I'll walk 40 miles before I buy anything from you. And that's the way we are. We think evil and put, it's your body, it's your health, it's your nervous breakdown. I'm not near one. I don't know which grandkids are here, but I'm not near one. It's your health. But if you never hear a thing I say except what I'm telling you this morning, it'll change your life. Well, I could put Dr. Streeter and Dr. Cal and Dr. Dennis in a soup line if folks would hear this message and practice it. I'm not saying every time you get sick it's because you got something bad in your mind, but I guarantee you 75% of it's caused by that. Look at me. I've got a throat problem, esophagus problem. Maybe you've noticed. I've got it. You know what I can do? I can get up to preach and think about it. It'll tighten up. You let me completely forget I got it, and I won't clear my throat once in a sermon. What is it? The mind tightens up. If you don't believe it, let me say a few words to you. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Thickened gravy over hot biscuit. Oozing in butter. Huh? T-bone steak, 1.5 inches thick, medium well. Mushrooms on top. Baked potato with cheese over baked potato and chives over that and bacon bits over that. Listen, your body has been affected with the last 60 seconds of what I've said. It affects your body. You know why you're sleepy? Because you think you're sleepy. What I'm really saying is I'm becoming a Christian Scientist next week. You can't think yourself out of sin. You can't think yourself out of hell. And you can't think yourself into salvation. But you can think yourself to the doctor. And you can think yourself to good health. And I'm not going to let things enter my mind that are negative. I don't care if they're true. And I am going, when I think about Ray Bordway, I'm not going to think of all the dirty things he's done to me. Man, I'll tell you, let me tell you a few, but anyway, I'm not going to do it. There's not one member of this church who has one single thing recorded in my computer. That way I can't lose confidence in you. Because every time I check your record, it's clear. I think myself of the burdens of people. I think myself to appreciate people. I think myself to love people. And that's what it means when it says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, and lovely, and of a good report, and virtuous, and praiseworthy, record those things. You check the word think there in the Greek, you'll find it means account. Account. Record. Record these things. Now, if you record the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, and praiseworthy, that means you don't record the things that are false, or dishonest, or unjust, or impure, or unlovely, or a bad report, or not virtuous, or not praiseworthy. Thank God today. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. He does not record anything bad about me. If you went to heaven today and you said, let me see your books. And if God opened that you have the books, you opened the H's, right down to the end of the H's, H-Y-L-E-S, comma, Jack Frazier. You look at it. And you know what you'll see there? Goodness, kindness, gentleness. And you know what you'll say? There must be two Jack Hileses. Not the one I know. I know. Because you've been recording bad things. Yeah. But my Heavenly Father just puts down the good things. Oh, against my record, because he put down the bad things against Jesus' record. One day I was in Texas, in my office, and my music director came in and said, preacher, won't you read this and tell me what you think about it? And I read it. He said, it's a song I've written. And I said, that song will be great. It'll last as longer than you live or I live. And this is what it said. God held a great glowing balance, and one side was waiting for me. The other side held such perfection that God had intended to be. And God held the scale in the middle. And my side soared high with my sins. But God saw through my sin-stained garment, and a sinner, a lamb, was slain. I'm justified, the chorus goes. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. My sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven, and He holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified in the sight of God. And if you're saved, you're justified twice. Because God has justified you. And your preacher has justified you. Reckon that's what it means when it says that we might be justified and the justifier. You got any bad programming in your computer? Nothing you can do about the past. It's there. It's there. I guarantee you in the future, you can only think on these things. And I'll guarantee you, both the justified and the justifier, being the justified in the sight of God, the justifier in the sight of man, can make you know the fullness of joy and the blessedness of Christ. Our Heavenly Father.